I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See y'all.
All right, good morning. Yeah, it's still morning. We did it.
Okay, now I am recording. Jesus. Give it a heads up there.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, I had to start on my computer. The backup was on. I was letting you know. But okay, here we are now. Good.
You sounded very impatient. So I thought that meant giddy up. I don't know what you mean.
It's like, hey, I'm ready to go. Okay, here, I'm going to just floor it. And then I just get whipped. I do a backflip. You see, I'm the kid on the sled. There's just a spinning 8 quintuple backflip all over the air, and then I land face
and
first.
Nobody knows where he trained so hard for that. Exactly, that was you just now.
The training was really in the instant before the rope went from slack to taut in less than a moment, without a moment's notice.
So crucial, though. I mean, that's how stunts are done.
Yeah, on the spot, in the heat of the moment. I don't like those cold-blooded, cold calculated
stunts. I was
going to
say, there can't be cold moments. Mm-mm.
That's like that Evel Knievel shit, you know? He planned for all that. That's bull crap. I just go out and I find ramps, and I go off.
I see your level of like JC could do parkour, but JC's going to use those hand skateboards instead.
Yeah,
but like really hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I do some body work too, but I like to hit sweet jumps in motor vehicles also. You know, just any kind of air I can catch.
Okay.
I got an actual special baseball mitt that I designed to catch air. So you don't want me on your baseball team.
You never played. Wait, you did play baseball.
No, you don't want me on your baseball team now. You don't. Suspension of disbelief. You don't want me on your baseball team now because my glove doesn't catch baseballs. It catches air. And so I'll be like, I got it. And then you'll see me close my mitt and be very satisfied and run back to the mound. And then the ball will just be sitting in the outfield. And be like, wait a minute. What game was he playing?
But this does bring up a great point. You know, in any sport, you were only as good as you could have been because you were just conceptual at best anyway. So were you not successful, or were you successful at what you were doing?
Maybe sports? You weren't really.
I think you were successful.
Anything. None of us are successful by that measure because all of us are doing things. Man, I'm just going to go back to sleep. That's the measure of a true man.
You know, knowing when I just need to sleep and it's probably better for society that I'm sleeping, that's a win.
I'm more coming at it as just sleeping the most. But like, I slept the most, and now I'm going back to sleep.
Jason, I think this would be a great time, and it would be interesting to note that we're in a pandemic.
Oh, that sounds adorable.
It just has a nice ring to it.
It's like, oh, bro, that rave last night was so pandemic. I got a stuffed animal and a glow stick.
But it's like the new word for lonely. Isolation. Social distancing.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that my life, other than there's no stand-up comedy to perform, hasn't really changed at all. I do the same thing.
I know. You are those memes that say, folks, we've been preparing for this our whole lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's as not a joke as my love for Tabasco. I would say if we had any listeners to mail in your 48-ounce jugs of Tabasco sauce to me, because I will consume them. That is not a joke.
Do you really love Tabasco so much? And then,
huh?
And then when did this start?
I think I always did. I just, no one introduced it to me. I think that I was always.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, When? We didn't grow up with it.
I think about it. When I was 11.
I'm curious.
When I was 11, I was an alcoholic then. I just hadn't drank yet, you know?
So,
All the receptors were there. Well, that's what a love for hot sauce is. It's linked with And it's probably because it's just it's an unwillingness to relent. It's like, no, hotter.
There is no trophy, but there is honor.
There is a trophy in this case, kind of, sort of. I found.
What is it?
I went to Firehouse Subs, and I was looking at their hot sauces before the pandemic, when we still had just loose hot sauces that we could pass like batons between each other in a musically orchestrated dance at the Firehouse Subs.
I like my hot sauces like I like my women. Loose and able to grab.
It passed to me from some other dude I don't know. Which is actually true. that's sadly
way
true.
Worse.
No, I got way real. That's what that did. Hey, hand me that hot chick. Hot sauce. I mean, it doesn't matter. But no, I was at Firehouse Subs sandwiches, Subway
Looking
sandwiches.
For the fire.
I found the fire. It's called because they have their sauces are numbered. So I was like, let me check out these tens. And I went to the tens and I looked at, and there were a few. And then there was one with a tie dye label that said Euphoria, I think, on it. I'm pretty sure it's called Euphoria or something. But yeah, that's my hot sauce. The hot sauce that I did buy.
Really?
The hot sauce, a bot sauce. Well, no, that's not like my hot sauce, but to me, that's a hot sauce. The hot sauce that I bought sauce at Roscoe's Tacos. Was their lava sauce. None of this really rhymes, but I'm making it. But I got their lava sauce, and now I just put that in my chili and on my tacos and on everything, and that's kind of starting to become my flavor sauce, which initially it was very hot, but now it's just like, it's pretty good. So I think I'm going to be using the Euphoria pretty soon because I tried some. It's good.
So doesn't it kind of zap flavor? Are you really just putting it on things and then you only taste heat?
No, I taste flavor. I just... taste heat too. It's delicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if you're jealous.
Do you cry? Like, does it bring tears?
You get that little dainty sweat, which is great. I think that's rejuvenating.
It's a gentle sweat.
It's like a little sauna for your skin. It's like your skin's like, hey, I'm going to pamper myself. I'm just going to create a little sauna for myself. It's going to be nice.
Am I flushed? I feel flushed.
I feel very flushed. Oh my God. I'm going to start crying out of my face.
Because I'm a man. No.
Now this is my pores talking. I don't know. Are my pores male? They're kind of like, isn't being a pore female by nature? That's probably why they're all gay dudes. That's why they're all lispy. Pores, if your pores, if you zoomed way in and your pores turned into little mouths, they'd be like, hey, Mr. Neighbor, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. Do you want some sweat or something? Are you nice and moisturized? And then you see a guy like, oh my goodness, Carl's clogged. He's gonna turn into a zit or something. Gross.
Ew. It's gonna be a pimple.
And then you see Carl. Oh my God, guys, that was so nasty. I can't believe how much I just puked. They all have the same voice.
I thought with the setup, it was going to be different. It isn't.
No, it's the same guy. It's the same guy. It's the same, you know, person they're attached to. Like maybe down when you get down to the crotch pores, which I remember them from the 70s. The crotch pores. Hey, we're jamming on ball sacks and fear. the crotch pores.
Oh, what a delightful song.
they would be, the crotch pores would be more like Southern by like, I wish I talked myself into what a gay
really?
Southern. Hey, how you all people want to go to the movies?
Okay.
But you get it. It would be a different flavor, is what I'm saying. And then you get to the feet, they'd be like Canadian because they're all cold and stuff. Because feet, everyone's feet are always cold, right?
Yeah, but ironically, they're under you, but Canada's
well,
at the
if
top.
You, if you hang outside or if you go to China, then it fixes it, okay? because everything's right. upside down and slanty. Mm.
And according to the president, you get Chinese viruses.
That's where I'm going to go get some China virus for my family. Because we're putting on a China virus party. I'm going to infect the entire neighborhood because I heard from Sean Hannity that I could swallow a bunch of fish tank additives and it would cure me of AIDS and coronavirus and diarrhea. Oh no, I'm sorry. It would give me diarrhea. That's what it said. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you, Sean Hannity.
It's Hannity. Sean Hannity. It said that the diarrhea would be the ghost of COVID leaving my body. That was like a brown apparition sweeping across the night sky.
Gosh, if it were only that easy, it would be pleasant.
Yeah, actually, that would be a better alternative. Everybody, it's going to smell funny around here for a while, but you're going to thank us later because it's going to be over with in a couple of days. We'll get the hoses out. We'll hose down Sean Hannity.
Call Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Who are you going to call? Well, can I text?
Did you say who are you going to call? That's funny.
I wish I had. That would be great.
Oh, I did. Oh.
Damn it. Son of a shit. Well, we both
Son
came up
of
with
shit.
We both came up with Sean Hannity like that because I imagine him like honing a sword and like he's sitting like he's a cup like zoom in outdoors. Winter, nighttime, the moon glows across the snow, and as we zoom in on an ancient dojo, and inside you hear the clanking of metal and steel, and the hum of the gentle roar of a fire as we zoom in on a lonely soldier honing his blade. It is Sean Hannity as the last asshole, and he's working the toilet, the paper lathes, and he's sharpening his sword, and he's creating an army of Michelin men who will be made of toilet paper, who will help fight his battle, and he is the last asshole, starring Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is Sean Hannity in The Last Asshole.
Tom Cruise has.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean. Yeah, you're right. Why not? Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, I just think, back to your point earlier, you've been training for this, but I haven't. So this whole podcast should be more about me and how I'm handling it.
I really feel like it could be a masterclass in isolationism. I guess here's how you get through Thursday, sleep. Okay. And then the Friday, sleep.
Okay.
Saturday.
Masterclass. All right, everybody, stay, watch. This is how JC do it.
Yeah, no, I'll have a YouTube channel with demonstrations. Like, it'll be like recipes, except I'll be showing how to half-ass making a bed. Really, all it has to do is look good from a distance because no one really gives a shit anymore. So, and no one makes the bed.
Because nobody visits me because I isolate myself.
that could be my thing. It's like, here's how you make your bed. And then I get up and I'm like, you don't because it doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now it's time to clean.
Here's how you make lasagna for one. 10 times.
I made one pan, and now I have lasagna for 30 days.
Because it's expired. My God can handle it.
It's time to do the dishes. Here, we'll clean the plate, the fork, this bowl. Now we're done, because that's all I used in the last couple days.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the most productive thing that you have to do is do the litter box.
I mean, yeah, you should. I can fuck that up too.
Jason, you have to do that. Jason.
I got a creative and savage new ways of not doing that right. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, true story.
Oh, okay.
I was watching. Okay, so yesterday I was awoken up. Okay, this is a little sad. Apparently, Little Fuzz has seizures occasionally now. She's had two seizures in the last week. So that's a feature that I'm learning. Maybe it might go away if it keeps persisting. I don't see. It's not a flaw. It's not a flotcher. It's a feature.
I didn't say it was. You said that.
Yeah, I did. Because you said the thing you said. Yeah, whose fault is it?
No, I didn't think that it was a flaw. Like I.
This conversation isn't my fault. I didn't do this. So, in any event, yesterday I was awoken to the docile, gentle tones of a cat seizing directly next to my face. Because she was under the covers and we were cuddling.
Wait, which one's Little Fuzz?
The little fuzzy one.
Little lady, like your fuzzy sweet one.
Yeah, the one is very descriptive. Yeah, that one. Telomere. I don't use her name very often.
There you go.
There we go.
Right? I'm saying the right one. Telomere.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm a good cat aunt.
I'm taking credit for that because I said it a moment before you said it, and I feel like that had something to do with you saying it. But
yeah, but we talk over each other, so how would we ever know?
We won't. We'll never, as usual, we'll never know.
Won't.
We're not here to know, by the way. So
gentle seizures next to Daddy's face.
Gentle seizures. I remember them from the 70s also.
Oh my goodness! These bands were weird.
Yeah, they were wild. They were all on.
Well, they all were
seizure-inducing drugs, I guess. So I was awoken, and she kind of, there was a little bit of spittle on my bed sheets. So I went ahead and cleaned up. I went ahead and did all the bedspreads, which included the giant comforter as well. And I should just remember to do that thing on its own. So I had just enough in the laundry machine that. It didn't drain properly, so all of the everything that came out of it was dripping wet, and I was like, "Well, this is wetter than normal." But you know, and I had my now like I was doing my master class laundry. I was like, "Well, you see, so the laundry's kind of fucked, but I already did it, so I'm not gonna like do it again. So even though the stuff's already sopping wet, I'm gonna hang it up anyway, and then walk away." And go to sleep. And so I hung up a bunch of sopping wet stuff that happened to be just above the litter box. Not my litter box. It's the cat's litter box. I've got my own litter box elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a different box.
Yeah, it's larger. It has a door and it locks because it's mine. And so
I can have that.
Yeah, so that's for me. That's my
I kind of pay the bills, so I get the bigger one.
Kind of. Yeah. So I kind of get the bigger one. So I had all this wet crap above the litter box, and I went about my business, and I came back, and I'm like, wow, the cats are peeing weird. That's a strange... Never
and
seen that.
Too much.
Never seen that in the litter box before. It was just like a few spots, because it wasn't like they were like deluging, but... The garments were and then all over everywhere I hung the blankets and stuff over doors because I don't have anywhere to hang them. Everywhere I hung everything, there was just little puddles forming because of how much water was still in this crap. So, long story long. For about an hour, I was looking at my litter box like, wow, the cats are what's this all about? And then I finally put it together. And I put everything back in for a spin cycle and scooped a bunch of, sweater pee?
Water pee, yeah.
I like sweater pee better, or shirt pee. Something, garment pee, clothing pee. Either way.
Blankets pee.
Pants pee. My pants peed back in this case, actually. So that's fair. Turnabout's fair pee.
You want to talk about training. They're ready.
Yeah, my pants are fully trained, so I don't have to be.
That's gold right there. Well, it is. It usually is.
I put that on a shirt.
Okay.
I would put that on a shirt. My pants are fully trained so that I do not have to be. I have to write that down. No, that doesn't
make
sense.
Wait, we have a recording. Write it down later.
That doesn't make out of sense out of context. I guess I'll listen to it later. I mean, write it down on a card as a joke, because I write down jokes now, because I'm a jokester.
You're like, look at me, guys. I'm just a silly Billy jokester.
No, I go, I'm a guy who does the joking, and I find that I do it at times.
No, you don't make jokes like you say that to other people. No, you don't. I do.
You don't make the jokes. Go to, like, stand-up open mics and get mad at people for making jokes. Yes. You don't make the jokes. Like, if someone does a joke first, shut up. I tell the jokes.
That should be your intro, like, because your comedy is so deadpan and, like, intellectual. Your intro should be a little bit scary and like people really aren't sure.
Well, that is my, I already do have that theme. Like I want to do an act where I guess I could just do it as myself where I read from a book or like I don't know. My first special, if I ever have one, I'm going to call Be Quiet, I'm Telling Jokes. And it's got a picture of me reading from a book that's called Be Quiet, I'm Telling Jokes on the front of it and like sternly looking at you like, shut the hell up.
I think it's perfect. I think it's very you. I think the message will be received.
Except the reading
and
part.
I think
I should probably make it look like there's a Playboy or something in the book because that's going to be a dead giveaway. Someone sees me looking
pictures.
At a book.
Just pictures. Yep.
Yeah, well, okay, then I'll have a little thing that just says, like, parenthetic says, I'm looking at pictures, because everyone's going to see it's like, Jason doesn't read. I know that's a lie.
We know he can't and does not.
The last time I saw him holding a book, he was trying to stab a mall Santa to death with it. So don't you tell me he knows how to read. Don't you sully his good name.
I know he doesn't know any better.
I know that.
Well,
I know that he doesn't know that I know
now,
that.
Now, like, you're... Okay.
And I
think you're going to know... I think you're going to have a new vision after this forced isolation and social distancing because...
Really?
Now you'll have an audience that will know... They can more closely relate to you now, Jace. Like, now they've had to do what you've had to do
yes.
to survive. And they just need to get through, like, 2 weeks.
You two now have... had to walk through fire to get to where I am. Yeah.
Exactly. And so now you're going to have an audience that can more closely relate. Even I can. I don't want to. I'm forced to.
Yeah, whether you like it or not.
I had plans to go to the beach and party. And
oh,
I
we
still
all had,
did. Just kidding.
We all had plans. You had plans to go on holiday. We all had plans. And then those plans got sick. And now they're all dying. So, what now? And then... yeah. Well, only the old plans are dying, sadly. The younger...
Oh! Whoa, so, that's not true anymore.
Any plans you've made within the last 5 years are less susceptible... No, I mean, it is. Everyone's susceptible, but I don't know if anyone's saying that the coefficient, if I may misuse a word, is such that...
Oh, yeah, you can't. You definitely did.
Old people are definitely more at risk than young people. It appears that it's mostly young people who are also compromised. Everyone, like a lot, like it seems like every anecdote
the
I've
carriers.
Heard so far. No, every anecdote I've heard so far, the young people who succumb, it's like, well, they had bronchitis or something, or like they had asthma or something like that. So look out, by the way, you've still got asthma.
Yeah, still scary. Hi, Everett has really bad asthma. Anthony has. Reduced lung capacity just from medically retired from the Navy. And then I've got asthma. So it's like, yeah,
right,
it's
cool.
Okay. We'll just stay in our house.
So, yeah, you guys are basically all old people as far as coronavirus is concerned. So yeah, stay, beware.
Beware. Well, it's sad because there was a 17-year-old kid who in California, he recently died, but he was at urgent care to try to receive care. But he didn't have insurance, so they sent him to the ER. By the time he got there, he had cardiac arrest and he died.
Well, that's my question, is at what point do we hold the managerial staff accountable for this mismanagement, which has become rapidly deadly and it's
right.
going to... My concern is that, I mean, I'm all about being optimistic. I got people over here saying, I think we're... there's no indication that the U.S. is flattening out yet. There's every indication that it's still going to get worse, and Trump is only exacerbating it. It's a problem now that we didn't take care of getting Trump removed within the first year, because now we've gotten to such a fever pitch that it's basically if you slowly boil a frog, and then after the frog is overcooked and disgustingly
chewy
and stuff, you're still arguing with the frog somehow that it's not, you're still alive and have it, you're good, you're having a good time, and then we're the frog, we're it's past boiling, we're, it's not good anymore, and we can't talk. This is how, every day he just lies and makes things worse, and his main contribution so far is to rename it the China virus, which started a bunch of hate crimes against Chinese people, so he had to back, the reason he had to stop calling it the China virus is because Chinese people were being assaulted and harassed in public because of it. That's why the president had to stop his contribution to the coronavirus response. And then every other move he's made since has been just as terrible in some way. And that's all he does. Why is he still in office? We're in the middle of an emergency. We're not joking around anymore.
We were joking before, but now we're definitely not joking. There's a speech he has in front of him, because obviously there's White House photographer following the president around, trying to catch anything dignified. Not there yet, but caught a picture of his speech, and it's in super, super, super large type.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. But he literally crossed out coronavirus and wrote in right before the speech, because it was approved, all that. And he crossed out and wrote Chinese. It's
he gave it the presidential treatment. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for that. Well, what I said earlier, there was someone tweeted out, they said, this virus is teaching us that from now on, living wages, guaranteed health care for all, unemployment and labor rights are not far left issues, but issues of right versus wrong and life versus death.
And what's crazy is that Republicans are so hardwired against, politically against the right thing to do, that even, you could see them waffle a bunch, all the pundits and stuff, in the middle of attempting to create a relief package that would help out struggling everybody. They're sitting there a bunch of Republicans are we need to help people out. Let's think of ways. And they're like, all right, let's give them a stimulus of $1,500 to everybody. If you give people money, they're going to be lazy and they won't want, it's like, oh my God, how are you doing this right now? Jesus. And they did all the talking points came up, all the Republican, socialism, handouts, layabouts, people won't work. It's like, your brain, I can see it. It's the gears are grinding in different directions, but it's just
the grinding in different directions where their eyes start to go opposite directions because they honestly just can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine that they're over there chameleoning it up. They're looking around while they're typing. Their eyes are just drifting apart because that it's a reflection of what's going on in their head. It has to be. This is where the rubber of cognitive dissonance meets the road of life, and there's gonna be it's gonna be a blowout or a burnout or something. We need Vin Diesel now more than ever. Call Vin. I don't care how old he is. He doesn't even need to be in shape. We can CGI that shit out. I wonder if Vin Diesel is fat.
We do not need Vin Diesel.
Do you think I bet Vin Diesel is somewhere 50 years old, walking around he's probably quarantined in Hawaii, walking with a beer gut, just a keg on him, and he's just
pass me another Corona.
That's my Vin Diesel.
He's so bold.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I don't even know what his voice sounds like. Okay, my favorite is this comic. It's a six-panel comic of two medieval guys, and they're looking over the castle, and one says, "Help is coming." And the other guy says, "Open the gate." And then he looks back and he says, "It's socialism. Close the gate. Wait, it's our COVID-19 stimulus. Open the gate a little." It's
Yep.
So thanks for that $1,200. And the money as we went and we did the money, because you have to figure out, okay, how much is the stimulus package? And then how much how many, it's based on taxpayers because it's taxpayer dollars. And then you do the math, not even half are at least taxpayers, right? There's all these people, whatever, yada, yada. So then when it breaks down, we get like, I think 1,200 and then the bailouts, they get like, it was either 8 or 18,000 per American to bail out the companies.
Yeah.
The math was terrifying. And then we actually went and we did it and we're like, oh yeah, he's probably pretty accurate. That's terrifying. Glad we can bail out the companies. You know, like 10 years ago, remember when we bailed out companies and banks? Now it's about dang time that they freeze our mortgage payments, our car payments, and loan debts. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we bailed you out. Fair. How about a return on that?
Like, the banks could, like, I would say not even like a freeze, but also let a couple of months slide. How about that? Banks, because of the bailouts that you all got, like, just be like, all right, well, because of hardship, it's not like we're all going to come out of this smelling like roses, all stacked to the gills with cash. So we're going to need some help like that. It would be nice. And by the way, while we're on the subject, I might have gone over this on the cast here before, but I'm very passionate about the subject of jobs, of people requiring jobs to be happy. I'll put on a little puppet theater here. Let's see if I can cobble this together. It's like, oh, hey, U.S. citizen, you need a job to be happy. I don't know. I can't think of how to do it. You need a job to be happy because that's how life goes. And then U.S. citizen's like, but I hate my job because there aren't any good jobs because they all went overseas. And I would rather do something that I like. Nope, you need a job. Job. And these are the jobs that you have, so you get a job, and that'll make you happy. But I don't like it. Shut up. Do your job. That worked. That was pretty good.
I couldn't follow because I don't think any of your puppets had pants on, and I was offended.
Well, they don't have legs. I got sleeves on. Is that right? I was actually doing little hand puppets. Like my hands were little puppets that were talking to me. I had to visualize. It's like, you know how a voice actor, they actually act with their body, even though you're just hearing their voice. I did.
True.
I did. I went for it. I went full.
The
retard.
Method acting, of course. Mm. Of course.
I did some meth and then I started acting. As one does. Well, here, the point being, the point being that. There's this legend in American capitalism that you have to work to be happy and be productive to be happy, which in a sense is true, but you don't have to sacrifice your life to the machine to be happy. As a matter of fact, I think most people,
as I've
described very accurately with my hand puppets, most people are not satisfied with being told how to be happy. So you have to find your happiness, and that does involve being productive, but it doesn't necessarily have to involve your livelihood. You could receive a government stipend of like $2,000 a month or something if you're a couple or like maybe $1,000 a month for each person, enough to live on, and then find a vocation somewhere that you actually enjoy that is not necessarily a requirement of society, but that other people enjoy and are willing to spend excess income on that they may have. And perhaps you even get paid a little bit for that activity so that you get, but you don't really need a minimum wage. You wouldn't need minimum wage. I don't know. I feel like there really is a way to structure it so that people aren't bilking the system, and to encourage people to actually go be productive in passionate, positive ways that they feel inclined to, rather than trying to shape them like little cogs and stuff them in a gearbox.
They could get government money, but they would have to do something for the government money.
No, they don't have to do something. They don't have to do something. That's the problem.
You should contribute.
Well, hold on. You're thinking from the capitalist mindset. It's a negative incentive market. That's not how I'm speaking at all. I'm saying you encourage people to realize that that's what life is about. You don't break them so that they'll work for you. You lift them up so that they'll work for themselves. It's very possible to.
Oh yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, for everybody to actually, like, you don't have to trick people into working. You just let them, you teach them how to be happy through finding motions they do with their hands that make them, like, we're all way dumber than we think. Even the smart, even Elon Musk, he's pretty dumb in the sense that he's out of shape, which is, I don't understand how someone that smart can be out of shape. He's got a bunch of extra, like, I know he's busy, but he of all people should know.
I know he's busy.
He of all people should know that if you want to maximize your brain, like sharpen the body, sharpen the mind, he should be in, like, he should be all cross-fitted up. And everyone's body works that way. Like, we're all mechanically built. So if we engage in exercise, our brain works better. If we engage in work, our self-esteem is higher. And if we engage with the opposite gender, it's super awesome. And then there's another generation. I don't know. I didn't have a third thing, so that's all I could. If we engage the warp drive, then we will be in Alpha Centauri shortly. There, that's the third one. Forget about, just go make that four. Now there's four. Now it's too much. We're dumb and stupid. Everyone should just exercise and go to work at a place where they get
some
exercise.
Can everybody honestly just not right now? Like, exactly. Oh, I found the meme I was telling you about. It says the COVID corporate bonus bailout costs about $18,000 per citizen. So Congress is taking $18,000 from you, giving $16,800 to corporations, and giving you back a check for $1,200.
I would have to redo that math because I don't know if. you kept on saying the same thing. I was trying to say a thing. That math sounded wacky to me.
Okay, do it. Not right now. No, don't. Please don't.
I'm too busy waxing my mustache. I'm busy.
Oh, shoot. The little hairs are getting in the way.
Yeah, my hands are in front of my face.
That cute girl's running. I feel motivated to run. I won't, but I feel motivated.
It feels like I would just be running through invisible spider web, invisible virus webs. That's what I think. Like
yes, that is. Like, my mind has thought the same. Yes.
Like streaks of viral infection just like roaming like rogues around the land, and I would just be
invisible.
And then I walk in, and I would, like, if you had like a Corona cam, it would just be covered in purple striations they would be so long they would lead back out. They would be like big old cobwebs, but leading outside like a giant bride's train.
Wow, exactly. Also, I think there's been a lot of interesting developments. Even through this like quarantine self-isolation, because obviously there's seven of us in the house, plus, you know, two snakes, two cats, two dogs. But who do you send out, you know, for errands? Our mom, when she was here, I made some masks for us to wear when we're out because right before all of this hit, I ordered some special like carbon impregnated fabric. It's supposed to be like the super filter. And so we use that for the inside to help filter out particulates and all the things, you know, diseases, those webs that you're speaking of. And so we're very careful about when we go out, but staying in, it makes me realize that, you know, every once in a while moms, you know, parents need to get out and socialize. But I just love that I'm so lucky that, because I am not an isolated type person and I'm an extrovert, that I'm thankful that I made people that I like so that I can hang out with them. But you do forget what day it is. And then it's funny because you're like, well, no, but like I got to get up because I got to,
sleep.
Like, So have I unpacked my suitcase from Seattle yet? No. Did I go to Seattle? Yes, I did. Basically, Martina, Kitty, and I were in Seattle. We got to do absolutely everything in our trip, the whole plan, the whole shibizzle, and we got home safely on a plane and then quarantined ourselves before the quarantine. The quarantine before the quarantine. And they even made mom go home because she was here.
You were quarantining before it was cool.
Like, she can't. Exactly. Always trendsetting. And then I'm making her stay away from dad, too, making them take it very seriously. But... Yeah, so we had an amazing trip, but Seattle was like as we did everything, it was closing down behind us. Like, it was so funny. Like, we went to the Space Needle, and then it, like, that got shut down. And then we went to, like, we went to the Ferris Wheel, we went to Wings Out. Like, they started shutting everything down, all restaurants, but we got to do everything.
You know, it's like Stephen King's The Langoliers. You seen that? It's like when you take off in the plane and the whole planet just collapses below them. It's like, oh, that was close. That was crazy. Wow.
So I just like stay up here in like a holding pattern, or
it was just, no, they travel. I think they travel back through time, back to their dimension or some shit. Like, because it's Stephen King. He's a
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, you should have seen that one coming. Obviously, because the whole planet collapsed as an alternate dimension. They traveled back to their dimension. It's pretty boilerplate, really. Very,
but did they have enough fuel to go back to their dimension? I'm just stressed
time
out.
Time fuel?
That.
Do you mean? I don't know.
Okay. I don't know.
Speaking of luck, I luckily like I wasn't even. I was just like, it must have been karma, because shortly before, probably a couple weeks before people started talking, or a week or two before there was talk of any modifications of society, I bought an aftermarket bidet. Toilet bidet attachment.
Oh, that's funny. Yes.
Yeah, and so I got that, and so I'm like, you know what? I don't need any TP, really. I could just use a towel, because when I'm done, all I'm doing is drying off, because I'm a civilized human man. And so I've got that in my back pocket. but I thought it would be a good, it would be a great area for a movie about. I gotta know what I've got like half a concept, which is a half-assed concept of if one of these aftermarket toilet bidets also became a weapon in the apocalypse, post-apocalypse, like if there was a superhero who wielded a bidet and would, like, because this thing's shaped like a boomerang, so you could like throw it. And then it would shoot water, and also,
yes,
it would dry people to perhaps uncomfortable extents. If you like, you'd be like, hold still, keep holding still.
Well, you have to hold still. It needs to wash your butt. And I told Anthony before, I gotta really clean your butt. Get back here. I need to clean your. Oh, come on. I'm
running away. That's not, take this seriously.
Well, I told Anthony I really want a bidet, because obviously we were raised with exchange students and we've been to Europe, and it's like, well, yeah, it makes so much sense, right? But now I'm like, can I even get a bidet now? Because, you know, you can't get toilet paper. Can I buy a bidet?
Yeah.
I just want to wash my butt. I just want to feel the most clean.
Unless people are hoarding bidets too. Like someone just, I bought 20 bidets. I'm set. It's like, what? Yeah. Sir. All right, well, we just made a bunch of money.
Sir,
so
there's a bidet limit per day,
There's a per day bidet limit? Per day bidet.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's good. I'll give you credit. That one's yours. No, there is
one per year.
There's also the fanny function for the ladies, but for guys, it's more of a pinata puncher. So be careful with that one when you go. For some reason, there's two nozzles. It's like, I think that's kind of funny. There's one for the front and the back, and it's like, really? You couldn't just make the one nozzle go a little bit more one way or something? It's like, I just feel like,
now you're a bidet designer?
Well, no, I mean, think about it.
That makes you a bidet designer.
Nice. No, think about it. It's only like, from the vantage point of the bidet nozzle, it's like a half inch difference. You really need another nozzle. Like, that feels like a bunch of extra mechanics. Just for basically this, like, just scooch back an inch and you're good. You know, you don't really have to.
Hey, give yourself a scooch. Just give yourself a scooch.
Yeah. Don't be such a lard ass, you know? Like, do some scooching. Like, you could maybe make it. Well, I don't know. We need to look at toilets too. That guy with the masculine toilet. Through all that, I was like, what? Hello? Like, you know, I feel like,
hello?
Just, I think more than just above average guys have trouble with some of the toilet designs. There's a lot of things that can be in the way, and so let's just once we get through this coronavirus thing, let's revisit that El Toilet and La Bidet and have a great
for
day.
Sure. Like there's so much more we could do for sure.
Like you know, why sitting down at all? Let's have the standlet.
What?
You know, it's like a toilet, but you're standing the whole time.
Don't they have that in Japan?
No, they have the opposite. They have the squatlet. They have just porcelain holes in the ground.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, which is actually supposed to be the best way to go. It's like it creates a poop slide for your poops. Little extra gravity work.
A poop shoot?
Yeah, let Isaac Newton do the chain ripping. Let him do the heavy lifting. Let him rip the chimney out of the house.
Ew! Obviously, it needed to come out, though.
Rip the chimney!
That's... Yeah. I gotta go rip some chimneys out. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
BRB.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's how we do. I need to write those down. I had a couple new ones the other day that were pretty good for pooping. Euphemisms for pooping.
You know, this is what JC sits here and thinks about.
Well, especially while I'm pooping.
How better could I say I have to go poop?
Yeah, exactly. And usually while you're pooping is the best time to think about it. It's very inspirational. It's like, you know, it feels very zen. Like, how would I describe what I'm feeling right now in a haiku that is not at all a haiku?
You should definitely write some pooping haiku. Haiku.
Haipu.
I don't have, yeah. Okay. Mm. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to.
We reached the dad joke land. No.
We just did it. I gotta go write some haipus. with my butt. With my butt pencil.
Ew. No. Okay. Now. No.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Self-isolation too long.
I gotta go write a Shakespearean sonnet with my butt pencil. There, see, we're writing them right now.
It's not even gonna be a good one. If your butt's doing all the thinking. Hey, are you still getting out in the public and delivering food and stuff?
Yeah, and touching my face. I like to say after I'm walking away from the door, I'm like, enjoy your sauce. That's what I do now.
You just can't go anymore, so I know that's not true.
I just yell, enjoy your sauce. Yeah, I can. And then I sneeze real big. I go in restaurants. I go in people's houses at night after they're asleep. I go back home. No, there's restaurants that you go into places. They're all shutting. They're slowly dying, though. Like... I don't know. I'm running out of places to deliver food from some of the parts of the day. It's like White Castle closed last night. It was like 10 o'clock.
You're like, can something. People just make food so that I can just deliver food, please? So people can order food. Jeez.
This week I'm doing okay. And I'm basically just, the good news is I've got no other obligations. So all I got to do is just stay available all day so I can take whatever.
So this is all I got to do?
I'm a lazy ass spider who just like hangs out and keeps a web open all the time, and it's like, oh, some bugs will come along sometime. I bet. Like I'm over here hitting on a caterpillar or something. Like, hey babe, what are you doing? You're transitioning.
That would be such a funny actual animated series of exactly what you just said, except like all animated, but like your actual like person face on your animated spider. Just waiting.
That's
like,
usually what
funny.
Animators do. Yeah, with the mustache. The mustache would be like weird little tentacles.
You need to start writing comics because Santa you're Claus. Already good at animating, and you have funny stories, and you've got that twisted, like, you know, the darker side of you of like, hey, this is reality. This is what I do. But oh my gosh, that's so funny. Waiting, like, hey, babe. We're, like, trying to catch food.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I like to live, not just survive. So, you know, come what may.
I live too hard.
I got my I got my webs out, you know. I did my best. They're doing pretty good, you know. I'll get whatever flies are out there, and, you know, I'll snack on those. Oh, man, I got the munchies right now.
Oh, it's so funny. It's the best visual. I think it's the most accurate, really.
What am I? Especially right now. Yeah, all right. Well, I'll take it. I'll be like, I'd be a jumping spider, but like a lazy one. I'm so stoned. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to bounce.
Takes hit, lays in web.
I really feel like chilling out is the right thing to do most of the time.
Yeah, but you're a classy spider because you have a bidet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you've got some complexity to you. You've got some grittiness. I think there's a real story that could be told here.
You see me, I'm composting the inedible parts of the bugs that I catch or something like that. Like, there's a, yeah, you know, I go.
Yes! Yes!
I like to compost, and you cut to it, and it's like horror cuts where it's like you see all like the wings and legs sticking out, and like, and then like the fly sounds, it's all like horror for a second, and then it cuts back to just chill. It's like, yeah, you know, you want to smoke, bud?
Yeah, but that's like even my kids are like, wait, like we're watching this food show because I refuse to pay for cable, so I watch the free stuff on TV Plus. And there's cooking shows, and they play like old wipeouts and like British wipeout shows, and you can find it. You can watch MTV Cribs from like the 2000s. You can watch anything on there for free if you want to.
Speaking anyway, of TP, there like should be a have, wipe. There I, should be wipeout brand TP.
That's such a good idea. Let's do it. Well, if yep, we could okay. ever get our hands on any two ply. Anyway,
yeah, I need to do some prototyping.
Goes to Vietnam. Hold on, let me finish my story. There's a guy that goes to like Vietnam or somewhere, and he uses like that. He shows the camera, follows him around. He's like a you know, working chef or whatever. He speaks the language and he speaks perfect English as well. And then he shops the markets and then actually uses like very like primitive ways to like cook it right in front of you. And like bikes and motorcycles are passing and he has to move and then like use his makeshift table to make these foods. Anyway, he'll go to the market and say, like, oh, here's lamb's head, and oh, that smells so fragrant. And the kids are just like, oh, what? And I'm like, hey, at least they're using all the parts of the animal. Like, you're just enjoying, like, the delicious, yummy, tasty bits of the animal, but all of the animal can be used. And culturally, it's more respectful to the animal and to the earth to use everything. So what you're saying is, if you were, you know, Spider Jason, you know, you got to give yourself some sort of a cool name and, like I said, definitely a mustache. But
I want to eat the face.
It's actually quite, yeah. What?
I want the face. Give me the face. I'm going to eat it.
Hey, when you're a spider, you can go, I want the face.
Give me it. I'm a face man. Give me the face. I'm going to eat the face.
You know, that's my favorite part.
Yeah, face eater, again, from the 70s.
Like, do you start at the face, or do you save the face for last because it's your favorite?
You know, whatever the situation calls for, if there are a lot of other ravenous eaters, I'll be like, you know what, I'm going straight for the face. But if it's just me and an entire skinned horse or something, I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to start where I like it. I'm going to save the face for last.
As a spider?
Sure. I didn't know I was a spider. I forgot that.
You're going to eat a horse as a spider? What size spider are you? And how big is your web?
Well, either way, I mean, if there's just like one horse and it's like me and a bunch of other spiders, some lizards, like a couple like wolves, a bunch of like maybe amoebas, a handful of maggots, so a bunch of other crap.
Huh?
I would probably go for the face, because if that's all we got, like, what do the flies like? Because as a spider, I'm going to be going to like the butt or something like that, because that's where the flies are. If I gotta compete for protein, I'm actually gonna be using the horse as a lure. Now, if I like to treat myself as a spider, like, hey, you know, I feel like I wanna go. I feel like today's a special day. I woke up at 9 a.m. It's 9 a.m. Which is pretty early for me. So I'm actually going to go out for lunch today, and I'm going to go get myself some horse face. And I'm going to train myself some horse face. I would do that. That would be my attitude.
Or some horse's ass.
Well, yes. But if it was a casual, like, if it was nine, if I woke up at the crack of nine on like a Sunday,
crack of nine.
I would go, I would go straight for the horse face. But on any other day, if it's just a busy, you know, 12 p.m. on a hump day, I'm going straight for horse anus. And that's the truth.
Whoa. I was thinking like the butt meat, but you went for anus. Okay.
Well, the anus is where the flies are. I just outlined this in great detail.
Oh, great my horse, goodness.
And great if horse tail.
Look at your notes.
Yeah, if you would please just consult the handout that has been passed to you prior to this recording. You'll see everything described in great detail there. Great horse tail there. Please try to follow. Please try to follow along. Try to keep up.
Why Jenkins, else would fired. I create this PowerPoint if you weren't even going to follow along?
So it's more like a powerless, pointless presentation.
You know, doesn't it feel like that sometimes, though? I mean...
Sure does. Sometimes. Some days you just don't want to get out of bed because the misery is all-consuming, like a blanket that is wet.
Because you are powerless and pointless.
Such is life. And on that note, I would say, here at Channel 5 News would love you to go stay inside, don't talk to your neighbors ever again.
Literally
and
ever.
And live in darkness for the rest of your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And on that note, another three to one. Yes.